Genesis chapter number 29. Genesis chapter 29. And let's look at verse number 16. Genesis chapter 29. We're going to pick up the story of Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was supposed to have the birthright and the blessing of God. But Jacob and his mother went about it all wrong. And his mother taught him to sneak and to lie to his father. And I'm going to ask if Jada will come on up and sit in the front row, and Harmony will sit on the front row over here. And so Jacob and his mother contrived a plan to lie to his father to steal the birthright from his older twin brother Esau. And so Jacob supplanted, and even though he wasn't firstborn, he was able to manipulate his father. And of course, it was God's will, and that's why God allowed it, but it wasn't God's will for him to lie. You know, a lot of times something is God's will, but it isn't God's will the way it happened. But God's will was done. And I think we can apply that to our world today. I mean, things are going to happen that may not be the right thing, but God's will be done, and we can trust that. We can always remember that. And so with Jacob, he's on the run because he's afraid that Esau is going to kill him. And he goes to his uncle Laban. He's with Laban. And it says here in Genesis 29, hopefully you get a Bible. You need a Bible, not just a water bottle. Get yourself a Bible. And verse 29, verse number 16. And Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know exactly what the tender-eyed means, but the other part of the verse says, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So I'm going to guess that tender-eyed means not beautiful and well-favored, okay? And someone said it might have been hard on the eyes of everybody else. I don't know exactly. That's not being very kind. But that was the description of Leah the older and Rachel the younger. It says, and Jacob loved Rachel. By the way, that's just the normal guy. Now remember, Jacob's not exactly right with God at this point. And normal guys think they're in love because beauty, all right? And so Jacob loved Rachel, just like most guys say they love somebody right now. I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. It came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for an handmaid. Now let me just stop here and say that Jacob thinks he's getting Rachel in the honeymoon. Now remember, these are the days before electricity. And somehow Laban pulled this off. And Laban was able to make a switcheroo and to pull off a switcheroo and cause the older daughter to actually get married instead of the younger daughter. Maybe Laban was thinking, how am I ever going to get old Weary Eyes married off to anybody? You know, how am I going to get tenderized married? And so Laban's a sneaky guy, and he pulls a switcheroo on Jacob, and Jacob has a honeymoon. And when he wakes up in the morning, verse 25, it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Now, I just got a feeling that the energy and the tense was a little different than the way I just read it right now. Behold, it was Leah. I think it was more like, ah! Okay? Isn't it interesting how you reap what you sow? God was allowing Jacob to reap something. Look what it says here. It says in verse 25, and he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. Now, isn't it interesting? I think I just can't help but think that when Laban said, well, and this is just a bunch of baloney, but Laban said, well, it's only proper that we marry the oldest one first. So if you wanted to marry the younger one, you got to have the older one first. That's just our custom of birthright in our country. Can you just maybe see Jacob swallow hard when he heard the word birthright? You know, because that didn't he not pull a switcheroo and steal his brother? You know, and so I think that's kind of what's going on here, some of it. But he said, now here's the deal. He said, you go ahead and you finish out the honeymoon, and then you work 7 more years, and you can have Rachel. It says in verse 29, Laban gave Rachel to his daughter, and gave to Rachel's daughter Bilhah his handmaid to be her maid. And he went unto Rachel, verse 30, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, there's a little side note here. The Lord saw that Leah was hated. I don't know that Leah was hated the way you and I would think of hated. But let's just put it this way. If my wife found out that she was my favorite wife on Tuesdays and Fridays, she would consider that hateful. Would you not agree? If my wife found me with some other woman and I said, listen, it's not that I don't love you. I just happen to love her a little more. Does that work? No. She would consider that to be hateful. And in fact, God says that we are like adulterers with him when we put something else above him. All right? And we're enemies. You know, we commit some hateful act. So that's what it says. And so God sees this. Now, how many of you are feeling sorry for Leah right now? I am. Every time I read this story, I feel sorry for Leah. I don't read it and make fun of her like I was doing tonight. I read it and think, wow. And my heart goes out to her. And I feel bad for her. But you know who saw it? God saw it. God saw it. And when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved like Rachel, he opened her womb. He blessed her. Verse 32, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. And she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time my husband will be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. She conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing. Let's pray, and then we'll talk more about Jacob, Leah, and God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our opportunity to open the Bible. Help us to open it. Help us to hear from your word tonight. Help me to make sense. Help me to have a clear mind as I try to explain this and teach. And help us to learn something tonight and be blessed by it. Pray for each one to get something out of your word tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Leah, this is our introduction to Leah. And how many of you girls in here would like to be known as old bleary-eyed or weary-eyed? You know, how would you like to be known as hard on the eyes? Oh, there goes hard on the eyes. Or how would you like to be known as Rachel, beautiful and well-favored? Is this a no-brainer question? And it seems kind of rough for Leah, doesn't it? But what we find out is even though she was hated or neglected by her husband, she was loved by God. And what we'll find at the end of this story is a good thing. So hang tight, all right? Genesis chapter 50, you don't need to turn there, but Genesis chapter 50, Joseph told his brethren, that would be the sons of these ladies. Can I ask you to do me a favor? Wait until after church to use that again, okay? Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are all called according to his purpose. If God allowed you to be born not beautiful, all right, looking at these guys over here. Anyway, if God allowed you to be born not very nice looking, that's okay. If that's what God allowed, don't let it get to you. Do all things work together for good? Even if you weren't born with striking beauty or handsomeness, God's got a reason for it. God knows what he's doing. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14 that a good wife is from the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God allow this to happen? I mean, when we read this story, it's like, so Jacob is like the dumbest guy on planet Earth. I mean, how do you not know you married the wrong woman? You know, how do you not figure that out? But somehow he didn't figure it out. So what, I mean, of all the possibilities, I mean, anything should have kind of warned Jacob, hey, this isn't the girl I thought I was marrying. Don't you think, is that kind of a logical conclusion we could come to here? All I'm trying to say is that God allowed this to happen. You know what I believe? I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I believe the right thing would have been for Jacob to say, I think God wants me to marry Leah. I think God's trying to tell me something. I mean, that's the most bizarre story you've ever heard. I think God's trying to tell me something. Because if God wanted it to be stopped, he would have stopped it, but he didn't. And you know what I believe? I believe that before Jacob died, he agreed with that. He finally agreed with that. A lot of times guys will say, I married the wrong woman. I finally met the right woman. Listen, that is a lie that Satan likes to use, okay? Don't fall for that. It's better to recognize that probably it's not that she's the wrong one. You just don't want to work at it and make it work out. And that requires humility and God's ability to help you in that. Because I think Jacob learned something in his life. Number one, let's talk about Leah. Leah was tender-hearted. Now, the Bible does not tell me that Leah was tender-hearted. It says she was tender-eyed. But you know what? I think Leah was tender-hearted. You know why? Because the Bible says that God is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. Do you not think that Leah might have cried? Do you not think that after he threw a fit and she realized that this honeymoon is over, and after he then went and found Rachel, who was beautiful, and he, of course, was all excited to be with Rachel, and she was pretty much nothing, what do you think Leah did at night? I think she cried. I think she was bitter. I think she was hurt. But you know what? Leah, I think, started to learn something. It's a principle in the Bible. God said it one time later on, many years later, concerning one of Leah's grandsons. God said this, man looks on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. God sees and knows our heart. And the Bible tells us in verse 20 or chapter 29, the Lord saw that Leah was hated and he paid attention to her. He noticed she was humble. You know, I'm always sad. I'm serious. I'm always sad. I heard some sad news today about some young people that go to our church. Not the young people themselves, but their life. And it's sad. It hurts. It's sad. But you know what? I don't get all frustrated about it or upset. You know why? Because I've learned from reading the Bible that God allows sad things to happen. God allows not fair things to happen, ugly things to happen. Because God loves, and Psalm 34 says it, he's nigh to a broken heart. A broken and contrite spirit thou wilt not despise. He's near to that. Let me ask you, I know some of you have read Genesis several times. Can you name me all the good things, all the quality things about Rachel? All the spiritual quality things. Can you name them? Can you tell me any of those things? Here's what I can tell you. She was good to look at. And then I think I can remember her stealing her dad's idols, false gods, which isn't a very good thing. And then when she finally had a son, she named him, adding, God's going to give me another one. It kind of seemed like Rachel was all about Rachel. But she was pretty. By the way, I'm not saying this about every pretty person on planet Earth, but here's what most of us have noticed. Pretty people tend to be kind of self-centered and proud and arrogant and expecting more. And I really think that God knew which girl was better for Jacob. But Jacob, being like most guys who aren't walking with the Lord very close, thinks they know which one's the one they want. And by the way, in case you didn't know this, I do not recommend marrying more than one woman at the same time, especially sisters. Okay? I really question Jacob's IQ here. But anyhow, number one, Leah was humble. She was tenderhearted. But notice this. God put her first. God allowed her to be first. Jacob didn't put her first, but God did. All right? I don't believe that Leah really had a lot to do with what happened. I think Laban was 98% responsible for the whole thing. I think she is just obeying Dad, and can you blame her? I mean, anyway. But you know, God gave her position of being the first daughter, the first wife, the first mother of the firstborn son. God put her in a first place position, even though Jacob didn't. Now, notice that God had a special plan for her life. Now, if you feel like you're a Leah right now, and I don't think anybody here looks like Leah, but if you feel like you're a Leah, all right, God knows all things, and God has all things working together for good. And he wants to bless you just like he wanted to bless her. Now, here's an amazing thing. Leah learned. She wasn't at the moment, but Leah learned something that Rachel, I don't think, ever learned. Leah learned how to be content. Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what I've heard people say it, and I've come to realize, you know what everybody's chasing for? Those of us who don't have money, we're chasing for money. Those people who do have money, you know what they're not chasing? They're not really chasing for money. What they're chasing for, and what you and I really are chasing for, is happiness. To finally be content. To finally enjoy life. And the rich people found out that money doesn't make it. It doesn't bring it. And all of us who think it does, we're still chasing after it, but there's people out there telling you, no, godliness with contentment is great gain. Those girls, I'm not going to say in here, because I don't want them to think they're Leahs. Those girls in Custer who think that being like Rachel would finally make them happy need to find out that there's plenty of pretty girls out there that aren't happy. Okay? But you know, I know that Leah found some contentment. Let me go back and read what I read to you earlier here. It says in verse 32 of Genesis 29, Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. And Reuben means, see, a son. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon mine affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Isn't that a sad statement? See, my husband's going to see that I gave him a son, and she's going to love me because I gave him a son. She's not content yet, is he? But she's trying. She's hoping. Maybe now my husband and I, maybe we'll have that relationship like we pretended on that first night when he thought I was somebody else. And maybe he'll finally love me for me because I gave him a son. Then it says in verse 33, and she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And you know what Simeon means? Hearing. God heard me. God hears me. She's getting closer. And then she had a third son in verse 34, and she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. And therefore was his name called Levi, which means joined. But she's still thinking that these boys are going to finally make her happy. I think sometimes there's young ladies that think that a baby's going to make them happy. I think babies are happy. I think babies do make you happy. But you know what? Babies aren't always something to make you happy. There is something called diapers and colicky and all kinds of stuff. And even though dads are usually proud of their babies, they aren't necessarily going to just be happy the rest of their life just because you gave them a son. But something happened when child number four came along. Because of verse 35, she conceived again and bare a son. And this is what she said. She didn't say anything about how that Jacob's going to be happy with me finally. She didn't say anything about, I hope now that Jacob and I will be joined together. She said, now will I praise the Lord. I'm calling him Judah because Judah means praise. And I finally learned to be content. Someone said this, focus on the giver of your blessings instead of on what you got. Let me say that again. Focus on the giver instead of what he gave you. She's not worried. She's not talking about Jacob anymore. She's talking about God. I'm going to praise the Lord. Something happened in Leah's life by the time number four came along. I'm going to praise the Lord. And she named him Praise. Praise the Lord, Judah. You know what? God liked that. Jacob wasn't noticing a whole lot of this at this point. I mean, he might have noticed the names, but he wasn't really paying a lot of attention to Leah. He just wasn't. But God was paying attention to Leah. And you know what's really cool? Leah became the matriarch. See, if you were to go to Matthew chapter number 1, you'd find that the tribe where everybody came out of that was of anybody important, King David and Jesus Christ, came out of the tribe of Judah. Came out of Leah's lineage, out of the tribe of Judah. And Leah learned to praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, no matter your circumstances. Now listen, let me ask you a question. You're not very pretty. Your dad made a bait and switch and married you to a guy who doesn't even like you. The guy pretty much treats you like dirt and marries your beautiful younger sister. You have four kids, and number four, you praise God. Doesn't say anything about she got a makeover, you know, plastic surgery. Doesn't say anything about that. It just says she praises God. Something's going on in this lady's life. Something is going on in her heart. And she's not all about, woe is me, and look in the mirror, and oh, look at how happy my sister is, and I honestly believe at this point that the happy sister was Leah. I'm not real sure that Rachel was real all that thrilled about Jacob. But Leah was finding out that God's good, and she was praising God and giving him praise. And she has no idea that kings are going to come out of her lineage, Harmony. She has no idea. She has no idea that one day the Messiah is going to come out of her lineage, out of her sons and grandsons. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33, let's just turn there. We'll keep our finger in Genesis, we'll go back there, but Proverbs chapter 15. in verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. I was just reading this today, so let's go up to Genesis 49. Later on in the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel and all the 12 sons, of course, Rachel did have a son named Joseph, and his name was adding, which meant, you know, God's going to give me another one. And then Rachel had one more boy, and his name was Benjamin. But when Benjamin was born, as soon as he was born, she named him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. And then she died. When she gave birth to Benjamin, she died. But when she died, Jacob said, we're not going to call him son of my sorrow. We're going to call him son of my right hand, Benjamin. But she died. And they were on the move. They were kind of caravanning. And so they buried Rachel alongside the road near Bethlehem, Ephrata. And then, of course, Joseph and Benjamin grew up, and to the point where Joseph got sold as a slave to Egypt by the older brothers, and on and on. You get to the end of the life, and they're all in Egypt at this point, and Jacob is telling his son, Joseph, I do not want to be buried in Egypt. I don't want to be buried back in Canaan. That's where I belong. That's where you bury me. Don't bury me down here in Egypt. I'm not impressed with this place. You bury me in Canaan. And so, in Genesis chapter 49, he's prophesying and he's giving the sons prophecy concerning them. Then in verse 29 of Genesis 49, 29, he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In that cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham, which would be his grandfather, bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac, my dad, and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. That's where I want you to bury me. That must have been kind of a strange, sudden shock to all those 12 boys. Because, I mean, the whole time, Rachel was the favorite one. But he said, you bury me with Leah. He purposely made sure Leah was buried there. And God forever honored Leah to be buried with Sarah and Rebekah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know, right now things don't always look good or feel good or go our way. I'll tell you right now. Looks are so not important. I know these young ladies, young guys, we're surrounded by that. You're surrounded by the importance of looks, popularity. It's so fleeting. Let me ask you, which of those two sisters are pretty today? Well, physically speaking, when they get a new glorified body, they'll both look the same. But which one has a better inside? Which one's pretty on the inside? You know what, young ladies? Don't fall for the world's trap of worried about what the outside looks like more than the inside. Don't let that become number one in your life. I skipped over some passages, but let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 3. Well, I'll just read verse 1. 1 Peter 3, 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And then talking about Sarah, And later on, they'll say, while I behold your chaste conversation, verse 2, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being subjection to their own husbands. Let me read that again, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. It doesn't say you can't do this, but don't let the main thing about your beauty, what's the most important aspect or attribute or beautiful thing about you, if the most beautiful thing about you is your eyes and it's your lips or your outward beauty, then that's a sad statement. Because what I find in Genesis is the most beautiful thing about Rachel was something that she couldn't even hang on to. It says, let it be the inward man. Not the outward man. Verse 4, the hidden man of the heart, the inward, which is not corruptible, which doesn't get wrinkly, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God is of great price. See, Jacob was an old geezer when he died. By the time that Leah died and Jacob was getting old, Jacob was a lot smarter than he was when he was a young guy. And Jacob finally learned which wife actually was the better one. Young men, don't make the same mistake Jacob did. And if God says, I know Rachel's pretty, but I want you to marry Leah, you marry Leah. Young ladies, don't worry and be so self-centered or so covetous or so envious of a Rachel that you don't realize what God wants to do for you. And go with me over to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He's not going to worry about whether she's lying or cheating on him. He can trust her. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's a hard worker. Hey, Harmony, she's a hard worker. Hey, Jada, she's a hard worker. Uriah, she's a hard worker. You know what I'm going to say? She's a hard worker. This virtuous woman doesn't just sit around. This morning we were joking with Miss Wilma because she didn't get to collating till 10 o'clock. And a lot of times I will ask her, so how was the soap opera this morning? Was it a good one? And the reason why I do that is because everybody in the room knows that's not what she was doing. But, you know, this lady here, she finds stuff to do. She's working on stuff. She's getting ready for this, getting ready for that. She'll do him good and not evil all the day. She seeketh wool, flax, worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchandise ship. She bringeth her fruits from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. The other night, somebody in my house was throwing up, and Miss Wilma got up to take care of him. Guess how many times I got up? Zero. She got up plenty of times to take care of the young one who was making gross noises in the house. She riseth also while it's yet night, giveth meat to a household and a portion to her maidens. I am such a slob, but it's true. My biggest thing about lunch is, what's for lunch? That's my biggest stress about lunch. What's for lunch? All right? Unless she's out of town, then it really gets scary. But I'm just saying that this lady is not just some kind of whatever they paint as happy whatever, Kardashian you know what. She considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's frugal, and she's wise with her money. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Miss Wilma went shopping yesterday, and she came home last night, and there were a couple mirrors that she bought for each side of our bedroom. That was something that originally they had, Wilma and Hannah had set up like 3 years ago. And one of the mirrors they bought 3 years ago, and it was a cheap one, you know, it was a cheap store. I can't remember which store it was, but it was cracked. So they took it back, and that store couldn't get a matching one. So she ended up taking both of them back. And so we had these two nails in our wall. And I would say once in a while, you know, you really should find some matching mirrors and fix what you're going to do there. I want to go back to the cheap store, you know. Last night I walk in, and there's two mirrors and a matching little arch thing in the middle. I said, "Why? Good job. You know, you finally found." She said, "Oh, I went to the expensive store." And she was like apologizing to me, and I'm like, anyway. Listen, guys, that is valuable. Gunner, that's valuable. That's worth a lot. Okay. Rachel is what you call high maintenance. Got to have the best of everything. Spoiled, you know, nothing makes her happy. Listen, that's high maintenance. You're not gonna enjoy that as much as you think you will. Strength and honor are your clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not up late goofing around. She's not watching stuff on TV. She's just not. She's just always thinking of what she can do, reading this, doing that, praying. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Now listen to these last two verses. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And that's what God did for Leah. Now, I'm not saying Rachel was an ugly, horrible person inside, but God blessed Leah. And God honored Leah, and Leah to this very day has bones in the grave where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are. And God honored her. And finally, Jacob honored her. I don't know for sure, because the Bible doesn't say. But somehow I just have a feeling that in the later years, maybe especially after Rachel passed away, they finally had a honeymoon. Two old wrinkly people, but they probably had a honeymoon. And that's all. Just read through that this month, read through the book of Genesis, and some things jump out at you, especially those last couple chapters with Jacob. And that's just one of them. Bury me with Leah. That's where I want to be buried. And he said, and by the way, bury me in Canaan, not here in Egypt. And later on, his son Joseph said, you make sure you bury me up there, not in Egypt. What's really cool about that is that Jacob and Joseph could have had an Egyptian burial. Have you ever heard of King Tut and all the riches and treasures and pyramids? They didn't want that. Don't you bury me down here in this stuff. You bury me up in the promised land. And that's what I got out of Genesis this month, and I thought it was something worth talking about tonight. Because we tend to think of everything in the here and now. We tend to think of what we see is what life is. How many of you have seen me do this before? Here's the day you're born. Here's the day you die. And most of us concentrate all of our life on this little spot right here. But you know, Leah still lives. Jacob still lives. And who cares if you're ugly in this spot right here? Who cares if you're not as advantaged or whatever? Life's more than that. Let's think about the big picture. Let's concentrate on the big picture and what God wants us to do with it. Let's close in prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity to just go through and look at real people with real issues and real heartaches. And I pray for our young people. Help them to be humble and to be soft-hearted and to be wise like we talked about tonight, and not arrogant, proud, foolish, and short-sighted. Help our moms and dads to be better Christians, to raise their children to think differently. Help the mothers to be wise with their time and wise with their resources and wise with their children and wise with their husbands. Help the husbands to appreciate and love the wife that you gave them. And help us to realize where we're falling short, where we're not paying attention, where we're not doing our job. Help me to be a husband that's a blessing to my wife and not selfish and self-centered. Help these young men to be wise in their decisions and what they think and how they go about making decisions. And help us to follow you in all things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.